Well, good morning, everyone. As Pastor Nolan talked about rest, I don't know about you, but just don't rest now. You lost an hour of sleep. I get it. Y'all are morning people. Some of you, the other ones are just like, yeah, it's this daylight savings time. You lose an hour of sleep during the spring forward, and so yeah, when he was praying about rest, I'm thinking, I know exactly what I need in rest. I need another hour of sleep today. Come on. So do you. You didn't laugh. Wow, rough crowd. So yeah, this is the portion of our time of the year that we spring forward and we look forward to new things in spring. We think of this time of year as kind of the newness, the refreshing, and I hope that you feel that in your spirit as well. I know I do. It's kind of like as we go through like the winter time, as we kind of get through the dark seasons and the darkness of the season, it's now where we kind of look forward to go, oh, yes, spring's on its way. Spring's coming. And it's so helpful to do that. We're going to be talking today in kind of a part two in a mini sermon series in 1 John chapter 1. And so this is a great passage of scripture for you to memorize, by the way, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And I want to talk about it today and really dissect it, just to really give an overview of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If you don't have this committed to memory, this is a great passage of scripture to memorize. This was really one of the things that when I was younger, I don't remember when I memorized this passage, but it was a great passage for memorization. Jessica Deverman actually asked me a week or so ago, hey, what would there be a couple of passages of scriptures for our children to memorize throughout the year? By the way, she's not in here because she's downstairs already with the kids, but hats off to the D Kids crew. They're doing such a fantastic job with our kids. She actually, I mean, just to have a leader come and say, hey, we want our children memorizing scripture, so let's give me a couple that you think are important. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate her sentiment in that. And so somebody tell her I said that or talk to her about her because it'll make her feel better because she's not here right now. But I did thank her for it as well. But really, this was one of the passages I told her. I said, I want our children to memorize this one. I gave her four. And you'll have to attend D Kids if you want to know the other three. But I gave her this one because this is a huge passage for us to memorize as Christians, because this passage has led me to reminding me of what my role and is in this Christian walk. We have a role, do you know that? And we have a role, and then God has a role as well. And so 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, but if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. See, it's just a simple passage. If we confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all wickedness. Some translations, I memorized it differently. It says unrighteousness. You see, he's faithful, he's just. And I want to dissect this passage because I think it's so valid for us today as Christians to understand, really, number one, if you're a Christian here today, if you're listening online, if you're a Christian, you understand this is going to be review today. But if you are not, if you have not accepted Jesus wholeheartedly, if you have not accepted really the understanding of what salvation is, this is a great message for you to listen up. And those of you who are watching online and really understanding, but I want you to grab a hold of this, whoever you are today, because this is a fantastic verse. This is a fantastic way to even share your faith. This is a fantastic way for those of you who are working in the workforce and out and about in school. This is a fantastic verse and a method, if you will, that I want to walk us through this morning to share your faith with other people. Number one, confession. If we confess our sin, you see, confession is so necessary. It's so necessary. In Romans chapter 10, with the mouth, confession is made into salvation, it says. Our text says, if we confess. See, God is not obligated to forgive us of our sins if we fail to confess. So there's an action there for us. We've got to confess our sins to him. We've got to understand to let him know that this is what confession is. Now, some of you maybe who have been brought up maybe in a Catholic persuasion or the Catholic faith, confession may look like this to you. There's a slide that I want to show you. It may look like this confessional. Do we have that slide? Is it on there? Is it a picture? Anything going on? If we don't have it, I'll explain it. You know what a confessional is. It's this little curtain, this little small little room per se that in most Catholic churches have. It's called the confessional, and what you do is you walk into this little room, and there's a priest on one side. You've seen the movies, right? You've seen TV at least. There's a priest in one half, and the other half you go in and you confess your sin to the priest. Now, in the Catholic tradition, this is the way of confession. This is their idea of what confession is. Now, I'm not gonna. This isn't what this is about today. And I think there's some value potentially in that, is confessing to your sin to somebody else. But you see, the hang-up for me, the hang-up is that very act of walking into the room in the confessional forgives you and absolves you of that sin, which is not right. That is not biblical. It's actually extra biblical, meaning it's wrong. So, did I step on your toes? Hopefully, you know. No, I don't care. It's wrong. So it's okay to confess sin to each other. Absolutely, the Bible talks about that in James, that we are to confess our sins to each other. So that part, I love it. As the Catholic Church, I love that part where there needs to be that confession to one another. But we don't want to ever think that confession to one another will save you or cleanse you from that sin, because we know only Jesus Christ can cleanse us and absolve us from sin. And so confession is necessary, not only just to each other, it's just by way of accountability, but confession to God, confession to the Almighty, understanding, saying, God, I'm sorry for my sin. This is what I've done. I've made mistakes. So confession must be genuine. This word confess, it comes from two Greek words meaning to speak together. Kind of means to acknowledge in agreement with one another. Isn't that interesting? So confession is the agreement with one another. Let's say our kids, for example, right? I won't talk about our kids. I'll talk about your kids. I'm just kidding. So confession of, you know, right, we'll talk about the Hibbs boys. So no, when you guys do something wrong, right? When our kids do something wrong, I mean, that they're like, yeah, Dad, I did this, right? And there's one party, meaning our child, and then there's me. There's two entities coming together. So that's what the Greek meaning of confession is that one person coming together with another. And so when we think of this in our spiritual walk with God, it's us coming together with Holy Spirit and saying, God, I'm sorry. I made this mistake. I confess. And it's got to be genuine. Many criminals give one confession at the time of their arrest, but change their story many times in the course of their interrogation, right? And so it's saying, God, I'm sorry. This is what I've done. That word confession means when two entities come together, and that truly brings togetherness. Does that make sense? And so confession needs two parts. And it must be genuine. It's necessary. Confession must be complete. And notice that John doesn't say if we confess our sin. If we confess our sin, he adds plural, if we confess our sins. It's not only that idea of I made one mistake, I've committed a sin, Lord, please forgive me, I confess. But John, I think, puts this plural as sin, as that my sin now and my sin yesterday and my sin always. I'm a sinner. I need you. I'm a sinner. I need you. From now until eternity comes, I need Jesus. And so when John says, if we confess our sins as plural, there are many. He's faithful. He's just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we've got to confess the many. And that puts our heart, that puts our lives into the right way, if you will. And so when we think of confession, confession of sin is best carried out when we deal with God as those who have offended him, not as those who feel that they're innocent. I mean, there's such a difference, right? When we go before God and we think, well, I guess I'm supposed to confess, God. I think this is the right thing to do. I don't know if I really did anything wrong, but I think this is wrong. That is not confession. That's not contrite. That is not this feeling of I've done something wrong and I've wronged you. What confession is God, I'm sorry. I am a sinner. I am not worthy of your love for me. I am not worthy of all of the blessings that you've given. You ever prayed a prayer like that? If you've been a Christian long enough, you've prayed a prayer like that. Because once you have been in the presence of the Almighty, your pride, your greatness, your awesomeness, your amazingness shrinks down to nothing. If you've ever been in the presence of the Almighty God, you pray a prayer of confession. You pray a prayer of, I am not worthy of you. I need you. I'm sorry that I've offended you. And so that's confession of a contrite heart, a confession of genuine, just a need for his love, for his forgiveness. And so when we feel that we're desperate enough, when we feel that we're desperate enough, that's when true heart confession comes forth. So secondly, out of this passage of Scripture, there's confession. If we confess our sin, secondly, there's this conversion. He's faithful. He's faithful and to forgive our sins. He's faithful. He's just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. But you see, there's a conversion that takes place. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. New life has begun. When there's a conversion experience, he is faithful, he is just to forgive us of our sins. You know, that's an amazing promise. That's why I want you to memorize this passage. I want you to memorize, underline it in your Bible, underline it on your cell phone, write it down for later. I want you to memorize this passage of Scripture because this is the promise. This is the promise. When we confess our sins and ask God to save us, the second step occurs when God forgives you and saves your soul. You see, if we don't confess our sin, like I said before, God won't forgive you. I mean, it's not like it's not there. Forgiveness is there, but we have to do our part and walk into it. And then God makes this conversion take place. Conversion, that means something different, a different shape. Something happens in the life of the person that understands that he needs a Savior. So, as a way of sharing, as a way of evangelizing, if you know that word, as a way of sharing what God has done in your heart, there's a great, it's a really neat tool that I want to share with you this morning. I just want to watch a quick video, and it's just a small snapshot of a really neat tool of how to share what God has done through conversion. The reason why, not quite yet. Just, I know I need to be quiet more often. So this is the idea is the small little tool that can be done in 3 minutes when sharing your faith, when sharing the idea of what this means to somebody who needs Jesus. Let's watch this, and I'll be quiet.
Has anyone shared the three circles before?
Have you heard of
three circles before?
Has anyone ever shared
the three circles with you
before?
No.
No.
So this is the first circle. So this represents the world that's broken.
All of us live in a broken world.
You only have to turn on the news and see
suffering, death,
war, sickness,
rape, disease. It's everywhere, right?
But you know, God didn't actually create the world to be like this, full of brokenness, eh? Here's the second circle.
This circle represents God's perfect design. God's perfect design was a world without brokenness.
A world full of love.
Full of joy and peace, yeah. And unity.
But what we did was, we sin.
Sin could be anything from lying to murder.
Wait, so like just like normal lying or like hard lying?
And what sin did, it separated us from God's perfect design and threw us into brokenness.
And so people try all kinds of different things to get out of brokenness. They might try drugs or alcohol.
Or maybe chasing a career or money.
Smoking.
Even bullying other people at school.
Sleeping around. Suicide, exactly. A good example. But it doesn't actually fix the problem of brokenness.
It's like a bungee cord. We just get snapped straight back into brokenness.
And ultimately, if people die in that state of brokenness, they're separated from God, and that means that that's eternal separation from God.
Do you know what this place is often called? Yes.
So what God did was, he didn't want to leave us in that place.
God loved us so much that he sent
his son Jesus to die on the cross.
Jesus was God, so yeah. He had no sin. And when he died and rose again, he actually took on all of our sin and canceled it, like he crushed it.
He said if we would turn away from our sin and believe in Jesus and make Jesus
the Lord of our life, we become restored
back into God's original design.
And you become a new creation, a new person in Christ.
And will restore us back into relationship with him. So there's only two kinds of people in this world, people that are in brokenness or God's perfect design. Where would you see yourself?
Probably right there, to be honest.
Did you say good?
I'm not sure.
Love?
Brokenness?
Love.
The bungee stage.
Yeah, the same.
And where would you
like to be?
So where would you like to be?
Like,
you'd like to be here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right there. Yeah. Give me the love. Just
start one with God.
So here? So is there anything that's stopping you
from turning and believing in Jesus?
And allow him to be Lord and King of your life.
Stubbornness.
Probably not.
Probably weed, to be honest.
Nothing's stopping me. Addiction
is gone. You know the awesome news about Jesus? He is the only way out.
If you try to clean yourself up before coming to Jesus, it's like trying to get clean before you take a shower.
Oh, I see, yeah, I get that.
Is there anything stopping you?
We shared the three circles with 34 people. Four were already believers. 13 chose to remain in brokenness, but some were deeply impacted. And 17 wanted to leave brokenness and receive Christ. There are many powerful ways to share the gospel, and the three circles is a great place to start.
There we go. As we think of this three circle idea, the tool that is used, simple tool. I mean, I love this video because it's like little kids are using this as an example. So when we think of conversion, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We think of those three circles. And so look it up. There's a bunch of teaching on it. And if you're wanting to learn more about how to share your faith with the three circle idea, fantastic. I mean, it's just really, really fun, really easy, really simple. But you see this conversion process. I love when they said, if you need Jesus to forgive you or cleanse you, it's not like you need to get clean before you take a shower. I mean, some people come to church, think, well, I got to get clean. I'm a mess. There's no way I can come to church. There's no way even I can come to Jesus because I got to fix all of the stuff that's wrong with me before I come to see Jesus. And that's wrong. Jesus is the one who cleanses. Jesus is the one who is faithful, who is just to forgive you of your sins. And so we have this idea that we must clean ourselves up first before we come to Christ. And that's really idolatry in a way. That's like kind of saying that we are the ones that clean ourselves up in order for us to come to God. Jesus is the only one that can clean you up. Jesus is the only one that is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. We don't need to go to a priest. You don't need to go to a pastor. You don't even need to go to anybody but Jesus for forgiveness of sin. And that's the beauty of it. And so we think about those three circles. We think about that idea of really sharing our faith in this, but really understanding that we are a mess, that there's a world that is broken. God's design was supposed to be perfect. And sin messed it up. And so as we read before, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so when we see this, we understand, thirdly, that cleansing comes in. And so there's the conversion, But then there's cleansing that takes place, and as we read in our passage of Scripture, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First thing that must be done for an open wound is to clean it, right? It's that clean the wounded area. The infection must be stopped before healing can begin. And so as Christians, as we have understood what it means to confess our sin and that conversion takes place through the forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, there's a cleansing that takes place. And it's a beautiful cleansing. Have you been cleansed? Christian, have you been cleansed? I mean, you know what that means? Do you know what I'm talking about? When things that we've done in our past and some of the stuff that we've been tangled up in, that we've been cleansed from that. And old habits and the sins that so easily entangle have fallen short, fallen away. So we have been cleansed by Jesus Christ. So today, when we confess our sin, God cleanses us from all of our sin by placing those sins upon His own blessed Son. And so maybe in here today you've tried good works. Maybe you've tried church membership. Maybe you've tried baptism. Maybe you tried trying to be a good person. Maybe you have tried all of those things except understanding confession. Understanding that conversion takes place and understanding that cleansing is the result. And so this morning, I would encourage you, I want to take some time today as we kind of think about this passage of Scripture. You've probably heard it 100 times before, but maybe this is the first time you've heard it as well. But I want to take some time of discernment. I want you to just seek Holy Spirit during these next few moments. I mean, maybe you're in here today, maybe you're online listening, and you've never taken those first steps of understanding what salvation in Jesus Christ is. And if you're in here today and you want to receive and you want to understand that heart cleansing, maybe you're here today and you've thought that you've had to clean yourself up in order to take that next step of faith. And you've believed the lie that there's just something that you need to do before you accept Jesus. You see, it's a free gift of salvation. It's a free gift of cleansing. All you've got to do is confess your sin. Confess your sin. He is faithful. He's just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So this morning, I want us to take some time and I just want you to just seek Holy Spirit right now. We're going to just take a moment and I want you to discern. Maybe God's saying something to you specifically. Maybe Holy Spirit's speaking into your heart to say, yeah, you need to work on those three circles. You need to learn those to share your faith effectively or whatever. Let's let Holy Spirit lead right now, can we? We're just going to sit in a time of quiet as the piano plays. I want you to discern what Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Now maybe Holy Spirit has spoken to you, and maybe there's something in your mind and in your heart that God's just pressing in. Maybe there's something that He's just keeps reminding you of. That's Holy Spirit talking. Maybe He's just kind of keeps just throwing something in your mind. Maybe a conviction. Maybe you need to confess. Maybe there's something in your life you need to change. That's Holy Spirit speaking. And what I want you to do now, I want you to respond to Holy Spirit. I want you to respond, because it's just one thing to hear Him and to listen, but I want you to respond. We need to respond. And just maybe that's a prayer. Maybe that's a commitment, a recommitment to God. Maybe that's a something that you need to do on your part that says, God, I will do this, out of response to what He spoke to you just now. Let's do that.